Amen. Well, turn, if you will, this morning in your Bibles. I don't know about you, but I love to hear Bob Pittman, and I called him. He didn't get home till 9 o'clock Thursday. His plane was delayed, and I felt sorry for him because we got him there about 7, so he had to wait all day in DFW. But he's in Conway today, and he's preaching there, and he's doing well. You know, we read in the passage of Scripture all through the Bible, and we find out that one of these days, we're going to die. That's simple, isn't it? One day, we're going to die. The Bible tells us. And then we find in the Word of God what we can do at the end of our life. Turn, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 8. I love history. I've always enjoyed history. I like to go on our vacation. I like to see where historical things were and what happened there and the old wagon trains. They say that if they made 20 miles a day, that was a good day. Boy, I think today that's about like here to Athens, and we can just run away real quick and come back. It's so easy for us to get around. But you know, they set out not knowing where they were going. They were just going. And when they got there, I wonder if they thought after, you know, they had many trials and tribulations along the way, many didn't make it. Many lost their families. Many lost their children. They were killed. They had tough times. I wonder when they got there, did they think, you know, now what? Now what? What are we going to do now? Or even if they liked it after they got there. Look at what the Bible says in chapter 5, starting with verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. I love those scriptures right there, folks. Indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, today we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. And God, we ask now that you speak to our hearts. Open the word to us that we might see what you'd have for each one of us. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor and glory, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Job asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again? Now, that is an important question, because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. You know, we all have a beginning and we all have an end. I was born August 19, 1952 in Rusk, Texas, a little town not far from here. And I don't remember just that day, but my mother says I was a beautiful baby. Oh, man. Well, that, you know, that might be the one time she told a story in her life. But, you know, not only did I have a birthday, out there somewhere, at the end of my life, there'll be a day when this old body dies. You see, when you reach that destination, when you reach the end of your life, when you finally make that move from the cradle to the casket, from the cradle to the casket, is there something more? You see, we're interested in that because the Bible says we're going to die. We had a beginning and we have an end. And, you know, I want to know what lies after this. If the Lord tarries, death will come to everyone. I'm told that every second somebody dies. Boy, that's a lot of people. There'll be a whole lot of people die by the time we finish this sermon. Or in the next minute, you know. See, people are dying every second, every time the clock ticks. Now, for a child of God, death is a foe that we all face. We're going to face that. But it is a fact that you don't have to fear. There's no fear in that for the Christian. To Christians, the death is just simply a doorway in which we go into eternal life. I've used this many times at funerals. A little boy came in and said, "Mama, what is death like?" And she says, "Son, when you play all day and you're out and you're really, really tired, you come in and you lay down on the couch and you go to sleep. In the morning, you wake up in your bed. Do you know how you got there?" He said, "No, I don't." "Well, your father comes in and he sees you there on that couch and he picks you up and he takes you to your bed so that you can rest there. Our Heavenly Father simply comes to us and takes us through that home that he has prepared for us." You see, in this life, the Bible says, we know that this earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. We have an earthly decay about our body. For we know, it says, that the earthly house, this body, is described as a house. Right now, I'm looking out there and I see a lot of houses. Have you ever thought about that? I see some tall houses. I see some short houses. I see some good-looking houses. I'm not going to say that. But there's a few shacks out there. I'll just say it that way. Y'all may be looking up here and say, "Yeah, you're one of them." Well, that's all right. I've been called a lot worse. But it's important in the Word of God not to confuse you with the house. Now think about that. Your body is not you. You see, it's just the house that you live in. This is the house that Byron Jones, or some of you call Booney, that's my nickname, I live in it. This old body is not me. In a real sense, people don't get sick. Your body gets sick. You see, people don't grow old. Their body grows old. And that's what Paul meant. Look up in chapter 4, verse 17. Verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing." That's old. House, this old body is perishing. "Yet the inward man," that's who you really are, "is being renewed day by day." It's possible to grow old on the outside and to grow young on the inside. You see, that's what the Bible says. That's what he's talking about. It's possible. It is decaying. This old body grows old. Our outward man, the Bible says, is perishing. That word perish means decay. And you know what? That's exactly what houses do over a period of time. If you don't take care of them, they start falling apart, right? They start decaying. They break down. And over time, they get old and they fall down. That's what we do. If we don't refurbish our whole house. You know, I try to make myself as good as it can, but it just don't help sometimes. And I heard about this, I can't get this right now. This little boy was watching his mother. How many of you women put all this kind of stuff on your face at night and wash your face? Y'all do that? Oh, yeah, be honest with you. Try to make yourself look good, and I don't blame you. You know, we all do. Men are just as bad as women. I tell you, we always want to look good. We spend billions on trying to make ourselves look good on the outside. This woman was putting all this stuff on her face, and the little boy was watching her, and she had all this cucumber stuff, and the little boy said, "Mama, what are you doing that for?" And she said, "Well, son, I'm trying to make myself look beautiful." And he said, "It's not working." You know? We're decaying. We're getting older in our lives. We're just going downhill. You know, you fix up an old house and you refinish it and you refurbish it and you replace the boards on it, and that's what we do in our lives. But it's a decaying house. There's not a time anyone here today has not at one time or the other groaned. You know what I'm talking about? Complained about it. Oh, this morning, I hurt. My back hurts. My knees hurt. My legs hurt. My head hurts most of the time. I've just got used to it, I think. But we all do that, don't we? And we try everything we can. You know, we take a leave in the morning to get started. And y'all do that? Or I'm the only one here? Man, I need to hear amen every once in a while. I think sometimes I'm the only one dying here. But you know, when we do all of that, we're just being biblical. That's what the Bible says. We moan and we groan, earnestly desiring. You know what? I earnestly desire. There's one day that I'm going out of here, and I'm not going to moan and groan anymore. But right now, we're going to complain and we're going to gripe because this old house begins to hurt. And there's telltale signs all around that we're growing up and growing older. You know, you do many things. You try to rest, but you can't, you know. I heard someone say, you know, most of my dreams are reruns. I'm so old. Well, I thought about that for a while. And, you know, my wife will tell you, I like to rock. We have recliners, and our recliners rock. And I don't recline, I rock. But the other day I sat down in that thing and I said, you know, I'm too tired to make it rock. You know, you're getting old when you sit down in a recliner, a rocking recliner, and it don't rock because you're too tired to get it that way. And you know, my knees are beginning to buckle. I stepped down off the porch the other day down the house and fell and just, you know, sit down. My knees will buckle, but my belt won't. I know I'm getting old. You know, we all do that. Who was it told me the other day? Oh, I'm not going to tell his name. He's got false teeth. And he said, you know you're bad when you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. And hey, y'all, I got new hearing aids because I can't hear. And they're all right. I can hear now. I hear a lot that I don't want to hear now. But I still hear, and it's just a marvelous thing, you know. But we grow old, don't we? We just do that. And we laugh at ourselves, and you might as well laugh at yourself because, you know, it hurts too much to cry. It takes too much energy. So just smile and go on. You know, I used to like to go with my wife everywhere, but now I'm just too tired. I let her go. I just stay. And, you know, that's part of getting old. But not only is it growing old and we moan and groan like the Bible says here, It's a disappearing house. You know what? You don't build a tent, do you? It says, for this house, this tent is destroyed. We don't build a tent. You pitch a tent. You know why you pitch it? So you can take it down. And you're always moving it. A tent is not a permanent place. You know, it's a temporary place. And Paul says in 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This body is temporary, you see. It's just a temporary body. It came from dust, and it will go back to dust. You know, Brother Bob, I believe Brother Bob was telling, and he's been here for 6 years, and he preaches a beautiful sermon. Man, that guy just got it where it just flows out. And, boy, I like to hear him. But he was telling one time in one of his sermons that this body is made of dust. And the dust that you wipe up in your bedroom on your dresser is probably part you. It is. That's no joke. You're dying. You're decaying slow. You know, preacher said that, and the little boy run home and said, Mama, is what the preacher said true about our bodies being dust and we're dying? And she said, yeah. And he said, well, you better come up and look under my bed. Somebody's either coming or going. You know? But that's the way we are. It's temporary. It's a dwelling place here. We are living in a body that's growing older and decaying, and it's not permanent. We were not made to just continue on like this. Our eternal dwelling, oh, look what we have. If this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, that's exciting, isn't it? He's not referring to a mansion in glory. He's referring to our resurrected body. This body is an earthly house, but there will be one day an eternal home. That's the reason we sing, this house is not my home. World is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Man, I've got a home, an eternal body. In heaven, one day I'm not going to receive a brand new house, but I will receive a brand new house, and it'll be immortal, incorruptible, invincible, be like Christ. Isn't that wonderful news that you can have that? A supernatural body, a building, it says, from God here. It's not going to be natural, but supernatural, you see. That's going to be great news for us. We won't ache and we won't have all pains anymore. We won't have all these sicknesses anymore. In Revelation it says we won't die anymore. We won't be in sorrow anymore. It's going to be a great time. It says eternal. That means, like you said the other day, it's never ending. It's not going to be any subject to physical laws, but spiritual laws. It'll be free from the law of sin and death. Think about that. I was talking to some this morning, talking about their pains. Well, there's no more pain. I told my wife this morning when I got up, I said, man, my back hurts. My shoulders hurt. My neck hurts, you know. But there's no more of that in heaven. Man, I won't have those things. No more sadness, no more sorrow, no crying because loved ones have died and stuff like that. Praise God. I was just thinking, it's so wonderful. There's no more exercise. I won't have to worry about walking around the block no more. And I'll always be rested up. I'm amazed at these people who walk around. You know, sometimes you talk to them and they say, oh, we don't believe in that heaven stuff. At death, that ends it all. There's people out there that think that. Death, that ends it all. I heard a man told me not long back, said, preacher, I don't believe in God. And I was so sorry for him. I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. I just think when you die, and that's all. And you know, he said it ends it all. And I said, yes, it does. It ends all. Death ends the last thing. It ends all chances of you ever being saved. He said, well, I don't know about that. I said, it ends all your chances for being joyful. You don't have any more chances after you die. All your ambitions is over with. All your friendships are gone. It ends that for you. No more light. It ends all chances for you ever seeing light of day again. It'll all be darkness. And you'll be totally separated from anyone. No chance for you to love anymore. And it ends it all for me. It ends all my pains, all my wanderings, all my disappointments. Now, which one do you want to choose? You see, God is real. And heaven is real. You know, I see here we have a durable home in heaven, and we have a desirable hope. I know one day that when this life is over, when I've come to the end of my life, I will have a body not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, a new body. Oh, there's many questions that I don't know all about the resurrection, what it'll look like, what it'll feel like, what age we'll be. Somebody's asked me a million times, what age you think we're going to be? Well, I don't know about all of that, but I know one thing, I'll be satisfied. And you will too. It won't make any difference if you old or young, you're going to be satisfied because you're going to be with Christ. Listen to what Psalm 17:15 says. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Man, that's pleasing, isn't it? That's what we want. That wonderful life in Christ. And then he talks about eternal destiny. When a child of God dies, guess what? He goes, the Bible says, to be immediately with the Lord. Now, don't get confused about the house and the occupant of the house. A lot of people get mixed up there. When I die, this old body will be put into the ground. We bury this old house. That's all it is. The spirit goes to be with Jesus. You know, Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. The Lord said to the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. That body wasn't there, but the spirit was there. When Stephen was about to die, he looked up into heaven and he said, I see Jesus standing, waiting for me. Oh, let me tell you something, people. The Bible says the moment you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Did you know you can't bury a Christian? No. You can bury the house, but the spirit's gone. It is gone. I get excited about that. I remember one of the young guys was talking about dying one day, and he was at the funeral, and he was preaching about this man, about how his death, and he said he was a fine Christian man, but you know what? This is just his shell. The nut is already gone. And he said, that didn't come out right, did it? But it's true. The shell is what we bury. The spirit, the inside, what really you, has gone to be with the Lord. It's a God-given destiny. She sing about the grace of God falling down upon us. You see, we were not made for the world. This is just a training ground. A citizen is not a citizen of earth trying to make it to heaven. A citizen is a citizen of heaven, sojourning through this world. I've got a home prepared, the Bible says, because of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here, we walk by faith, not sight. Somebody said, how do you know it's there? I know it's there. I walk by faith. I can't see it with my physical eyes, but I see it with my spiritual eyes. I know it's real. I will end with this illustration. A little boy was flying a kite on a cloudy day, and it was up in the clouds. And someone says, son, what are you doing? He says, I'm flying a kite. The man looked and said, how do you know you're flying a kite? I don't see it. He said, I feel the tug. Folks, I know that heaven is real. Just as real as hell is real. But I know I've got an eternal home in heaven because I feel the tug of the Spirit of God living within me. The Bible said He is our guarantee. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you won't feel His tug about going to heaven. It's only by His grace that you can be saved through faith, not of works, lest anybody should boast, the Bible says. Only by the grace of God, through His giving you enough faith this morning to say, you know, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I want Christ as my Savior so that when I come to the end of this life, I can rest assured that I'll be with Christ. You want that? You simply have to believe God and trust God for it. All you have to do is step out and say, Lord, I realize that You died for me on the cross of Calvary. Your blood paid the price for my sins. I believe that. I believe that He died for me, and I want to accept that free gift of salvation. If you'll do that, the Bible says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Not maybe, but you shall be saved. Would you come this morning? The old devil's going to try to tell you, don't do it, don't do it. But just step out by faith, feel His tug, and come on. If you're already saved, then you just praise God. And you commit yourself. You know what we find today in our churches? A group of people that are not committed to God. We want to go to heaven, and we want to do all these things, but we don't want to be committed to God. Folks, it doesn't work that way. When you give God your life, you give Him all of your life, and you be committed to Him. This week, I got out on my knees right here in this pulpit after Brother Bob preached on commitment, and I said, Lord, I haven't been what I should have been. Now, you're saying, that's coming from a preacher. I'm just as honest with you as I can be. I haven't been what I should have been. I want God to use every bit of my life. You see? Every bit. When I'm at the end of my trail, when I come to that point of death, I want to have fought that fight. I want to have finished the course that God has given me. And I want to finish it faithful. I want to finish it well. And that's just exactly what I told God. I said, God, I want to finish it well. Not just halfway, but well. No regrets. Nothing left behind. Would you do that in your life too? It'll make all the difference in the world about how you look at heaven, how you look at God, or how you feel about God, how you feel about His work. I've just been so happy I just wanted to shout all week long. Would you come this morning? Some of you are looking for a church home. And this is the place God led you. Well, then, would you come? If not, then God has somewhere else for you. You know, you do what God asks you to do. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that as we live our life, Lord, we can live it for You. Lord, I just thank you that this morning, if there's someone here that needs to trust you, they don't know if then they die, they'd be in heaven. Lord, let them make it right today. Make sure of that. Whatever decisions need to be made, Lord, I leave it up to you. For the Bible says you're the one that adds to the church. You're the one that saves. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you